stood at the back of the hall here at Culture Code, and I've managed to collar Dominic Smith. We've got a crowd around you tonight after your talk. What is everybody asking you?
What's everybody asking me? Well, there is mostly asking about their data. They're mostly asking what they can do with it. And I've spent most of the time talking about the fact that it's not just their data that's important, it's how their data relates to everybody else's. So it's how we find links between between different data sources to find meanings, to find new meanings in what people are producing. So we've got people from Durham University who are talking about Lindisfarne Gospels, and we may have somebody who's got knowledge of migration around that time, that where we can find new possible uses and new meaning in that data. So, yeah.
Now, you're based at Pixel Palace. Tell us a little bit about what you do there.
Well, I think it's kind of what I always claim that the unofficial part of my job was to make mischief when I got there. So, I mean, I don't know if I've just invented that or if that's genuine, but it's kind of definitely what I felt like I should be doing when I got there. So it was to kind of take a lot of my research and a lot of my understanding of the way new media arts work and go into a space where there wasn't necessarily, on first appearance, a lot of room for artwork, and to find ways of making space where there is no space, to find ways of showing work in an environment that is actually inherently and new all the time. Because if you think about a cinema program, how much content there is moving through that cinema on a daily basis. And if you relate that to the way that new media art and digital art is constantly evolving and constantly progressing, there were definite links to be made there, which is what made it quite exciting to start there and explore.
So a cinema that doesn't concentrate just on cinema.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about the Tyneside Cinema is they're not, well, for starters, they're not a multiplex. They've got a genuine passion about what they do, and they want to understand more about the nature of the medium that they're working with, and the arts were just a perfect platform to do that. Yeah.
So do you find a lot of new faces coming through the doors, or do you have this loyal following?
Well, the program ran for 4 months in 2008 as an experiment, and then I started there a year and a half ago, and we're building up quite an interesting following now. But we also do things where we put installations on the stairwell. I don't know if you've been to the Tyneside Cinema, but it's got a really a classic cafe in there that's kind of been there from 1937. And there are a lot of kind of loyal followers of the cafe, these lovely older ladies. And what I found was we did an installation with artists Lalia Gay and Jean Biton, and they fitted sensors underneath the stairs that triggered loops as people walked up the stairs. And the older kind of patrons of the cafe, really, I kind of loved it. I found these kind of pepper pot women running up and down the stairs throughout the day, absolutely enthralled by what we were doing. So that's kind of one of the more rewarding moments of kind of producing this program, is to realize that you're actually engaging a wide range of people.
And of course, that generation, not wanting to stereotype, but they may be going away and using word of mouth to tell other people about what's going on and how excited they are. How are you engaging with those that have more kind of pocket forms of amplification, should we say?
Can you explain pocket forms?
This phone we're talking into now.
Right, so you're talking about people broadcasting via Twitter and various. We do have a social media presence, but you know. I'm not old school. I mean, I was just talking to you earlier about how being one of the kind of first adopters of Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, yet not using it very much. I always like to explore those kind of that media to see what the impact it has on the wider kind of society. But I still believe that the richer forms of communication are done face to face. So we do live events. We do an event called Datarama that happens every 2 months, which is a show and tell event for artists and technologists to meet. So there's. We basically set up a room with a beamer and a PA, and then it's non-curated, so I just tell people what's happening, and I don't necessarily prompt anybody to talk at that. And people turn up and show kind of the wildest things that they're working on. We had one time we had a talking sewing machine. Another time somebody just talked, one of my favourite talks ever was somebody talking about giving blood. which was not what you'd expect, but they did it in such an engaging fashion that it really worked, you know. So on average, we get between kind of 15 and 40 people turning up for these events. And what we find is the less people who turn up, the more people who talk, because it's less intimidating and it becomes much more of a social event. So I shouldn't really be telling you about this now in case it gets out there, you know.
Limiting it, make it more cozy as such. Yeah, yeah. So you're creating a space where techies and artists can come in and just riff about the projects and stories. Do you see any long-term collaborations, relationships coming out of these get-togethers?
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, it's an informal environment, so if somebody starts treating it like a PhD viva, I'll tend to kind of go and calm them down a little bit. But we have had collaborations happen there, and we're always looking for new ways to catalyze that and instigate it. So we have we did a thing recently where we had a key swapping party, where we had USB fobs in a bowl, and everybody put a project on the USB fob and threw it in the bowl, and then picked up a random one and took it home and remixed it and worked on it. So it was a way of kind of instigating, so I'm saying it's non-curated, but it was still a way of instigating innovation and playfulness while we're all having a beer.
Fantastic. I love the idea of the digital swingers, or what did you call it again?
Key swapping party, yeah. Yeah, I felt wrong while we were doing it. I was kind of, yeah. I was just kind of hoping my mum and dad wouldn't find out what I was doing, you know.
Fantastic. How important do you think Culture Code is for this kind of audience, this crowd, this group of participants?
I think it's very important. The long-term effects are, the real effects are going to be felt long-term. We're going to have this kind of small explosion with all the events we're having over this short period of time. But the real thing that we really need to track is the long-term relationships that are formed during this. And, you know, we should be very aware of that, because that is actually something that we could kind of reflect on. While we've got all these people who can track data, we should be tracking that as well and seeing how we build this community of not just hackers, not just artists, but this just wider creative community in the Northeast. Yeah.
Dominic Smith on Twitter. You definitely were early there to get that name. Thank you very much and good luck.
No problem. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye.